Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of SW Podcast. It is Podcast Wednesday, 6:30 live up in the Tallahassee area. We got our girl Queen C on, and we also going to have a guest, our open forum guest going to be on today, Mr. Robert Stugger. Y'all know Rob, bringing the male opinion.
Come on, Rob.
He being consistent. This is what I be talking about with the black man and the black woman. The connection we supposed to have when we doing business and stuff. So I appreciate Stig for tapping back in with us. It's going to be sometimes he's not here, but for the most times you will see him popping in as I open for him, giving the male point of view. Okay? Yeah. So what's up, Queen?
I'm chilling, girl. It's Wednesday. Almost to the weekend. Which got my niece graduating, and man, look here.
Your niece graduated this weekend?
And a nephew graduating, but I don't think they all graduating this weekend. But I'll see if they is. I'll just be graduating all weekend.
So you are you is in it? It's all down in Polk County area.
It's
right?
All in Polk County.
You finna be out. So I don't know about doing the bid with the family. That's gonna be good though.
County this weekend. What? I'm ready though. I'm ready to because all of us will be there. Well, Rashard won't be with us because he'll be doing his basketball thing in Orlando. Mm-hmm. But Zoe, so all of us will be there at one time. My mama, my brother, all of us will be there at one time. My parents and stuff. So that's gonna be good. Everybody in one spot.
Well, I hope you all have
my grandma and all them. So
excellent time though, because there ain't nothing like being around family and you know having a good time with family. So
laughing, joking, all that. I'm ready.
Okay.
I hope y'all having a good Wednesday out here, baby. I hope y'all having a good Wednesday.
Definitely enjoying Wednesday. And how can you not enjoy a Wednesday when it's SW Podcast Wednesday? I wake up in the morning knowing that today, y'all, is another day to go hard, Shelby. So let's do it. And that's what we're going to do today. We are talking about black women and the struggle for equality. So we're going to jump into that quote of the day. But first, we're going to bring on our open forum guest, Mr. Robert Stigga. Come on in, what's Steve. Up, what's up?
Hey, Rob.
What's going on? We outside.
I like that.
What's up?
You ready to
do that part?
What's up?
I know that's
Rob is with us again today.
Thank you for your presence.
I heard y'all telling me out, talking about, you come and make me consistent. Now, don't do that. Don't do that now.
Well, bro, you is though, bro. You is.
You doing it though. I'm giving you your credit.
You is though, bro. You is.
It's all good, man.
It's all good.
Yes, enjoying your Wednesday. I know that's
That's something that we all trying to be good at being consistent.
1,000%.
You know what I'm saying? And things that we doing in life like that. Look, hey, we got to start somewhere.
It takes a village.
Start somewhere.
And that's why you have us to keep reminding you. I'm gonna send you them links, but make sure you on here. And I know even if you're not there, you're gonna let me know. You know what I'm saying? So it's all good.
Yeah.
We just gonna I was saying was I like the consistency.
First of all, I be sleep.
Here we go.
I ain't even messing around with you, bro. Talk about you being sleep.
Girl, not that girl. One time he called us at call after the show and was like, "Shit."
Oh,
I could tell he had just woke up. I could tell. He told me, "Shells, man, I'm so sorry, man." He told me I had none. What he had said? Something he had ate. Something. He told my man, "I ate that lunch, man, and I knocked that man." And I was like,
It had to be about 9 o'clock.
It was late. He called me at 9. It was like 9:30 that night when he called me.
So my God.
Yeah. So let me bring on the quote, y'all. The quote of the day is Your willingness to look at your darkness is what empowers you to change. Ayanla Van Zandt. What y'all think about that?
Yeah, because you probably don't like what you see.
I mean, because that's true. Like, it's making you face your reality.
Like what you see. Yeah.
I get that. I got a couple different mixed feelings about it, y'all, anyway. You know, but
we're going to focus on the message, not the messenger.
We're going to focus on the quote.
We're going to focus on the message, not the messenger. That's how things be getting out of hand right there. We forget that there's a message involved because we be so concerned with the person who delivering it.
But you gotta listen to the message as it comes from the messenger as well.
No, well, no, not for this particular, not for certain quotes, though. Like, if a quote is a good quote, it's a good quote.
It's just a good quote.
I don't care if Satan said it. That ain't got nothing to do with me. He said something good this time. Everything, you know, come on. We just got to focus on the situation at hand. Now, go ahead, though. Go ahead, but with your key, go ahead with what you think of the message, though. Go ahead and put your Ayanla Van Zandt. Put your Ayanla Van Zandt.
I gotta keep mine to myself because of the messenger. Now, I feel it. Now, she ain't say nothing wrong, but I'm gonna keep it to myself. Yeah. That's just me.
So you don't got another opinion other than that one? That's it.
I'm trying to dissect the message
and take it away.
I'm trying to take it away from the messenger, and I just can't get it away from the messenger.
So you telling me you're gonna be critical of the message because you can't look past the messenger.
The messenger.
Damn it. Well, that's I'm gonna say it again to remind you that you petty.
Oh my God. That part.
I'm just gonna let you know.
But
coming from a male point of view.
Okay, so run that.
There we go. That's all I want to do because I slap you with it.
Read the quote again, Cheryl.
Your willingness to look at your darkness is what empowers you to change.
Which is why I did not want to say nothing about it. Because
go ahead, don't say nothing.
I get it. I told you when you first said it, I get it. But the messenger just ain't it. Now, it works, right? Only if you can get past the superficial sense of the whole situation, right? So, because of who said it, it's superficial. Like, I can't. Go ahead, man. It's gonna be good.
And I guess
you can't get past it.
And I'm gonna tell you this right here, because this is gonna bother me that you can't get past that, because I want to hear what you think about this in so many different reasons, so many different facets. Because for one, I want to hear what the black man feels about being stuck on your faults, and this is exactly what that message is a display of. I don't give a fuck what Ayanla say or what she do. I ain't even have to put her last name right there. I bet I would have got a response out of you if I wouldn't have. But
you definitely if
I know
his name on there, I know you were talking about. So it wouldn't have been if you'd have said somebody else or you would have said unknown, that would have been different.
I know that. That's what I'm saying. Normally, that's what I do. Even if I know who the person is, I do that. We're having a conversation today on black women. So I put that particular quote there. I had two or three other different quotes today.
I spoke on this topic more than once, and mm-hmm. I spoke on it more than once on your show, right? So if we're talking about owning your own faults, I get that. But coming from a African American grown man's point of view, how do you do that when you're not allowed to? Right, like you're not allowed to own your faults, even when you're a shorty. Like when you're young, you can't own them. What you can do is you can get beat up about them. You can get beat up about your faults, but you can't own them. So when that's why you have a lot of grown men that look at their partner to be their mama.
So
we can keep going now.
So based on this was Badrika's response. You have to be able to see your own faults and wrongdoings, and this is her response to the quote, which stated that your willingness to look at your darkness is what empowers you. And what I gathered from the quote is this, because I feel what you're saying. I feel that. What I gathered from the quote is me standing and looking at my ugliness, the things that I want to hide from the world, the things that even I want to hide from myself, and not being accountable for those things, keeping them hidden, is what's keeping me from changing and growing. So if I don't take accountability for these things that are going on, that I'm trying to shelter, that the world don't even see, but I see it, how can I change and grow? I can keep on walking out here trying to look like I'm manifesting and changing and growing, but on the behind the scenes, I'm really still stuck in this same space. So that's what I took from the message.
I don't mean to cut you off. We kind of hit on it last week, like when I was telling you, like, if you can't look in the mirror, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the same thing. It gets a little bit deeper with the message this week, but that's kind of the same thing. Like, if you can't look in the mirror, like, that just is what it is.
Because that mirror gonna be real with you. It's
and ain't nothing you can do about it.
It's you. All you.
You can't do, it's completely there. It's whatever, the visibility of you is there. And a lot of times, you know, we love to run from that. We'll get out that mirror fast. And the mirror be like this sometimes. The mirror don't even really be a mirror. It could be you having a conversation with your family and now the conversation get on you. And now they want to tell you about you. Mm-hmm. And it might be really true.
It is true,
but you don't want to hear it because
you used to have an uncomfortable conversation about everybody else, not yourself.
So you keep on turning your back on the mirror, but your family trying to make you face it, and you looking like,
yeah.
So, that's accountability goes a long way. No matter how many points you make, you're gonna come back to the same thing.
I made that one of your shows, because we can have a whole show about that.
Accountability.
Oh yeah,
we did one. You missed that one.
We did our accountability show.
We did account. We can revisit it. I can do accountability number two.
Run that bitch back. You need. Run.
We can definitely do that, because accountability is a topic you can never stop talking about.
Never.
It comes in so many forms and facets. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We can definitely come back and revisit that. So again, the quote of the day, your willingness to look at your darkness is what empowers you to change. And with that being said, we're going to go ahead and jump into our conversation of the day.
I actually agree with it, but I agree with the message, not the messenger, but I agree with the message though.
You know what?
Because I know he liked the message, but he just want to be difficult and shit.
I'm not even being funny. Like, I agree with the message for real. Like, I agree with the message because that's
just don't agree with the message.
He don't want to discuss that messenger, but he definitely think that the message works.
Yeah, the message is definitely for real, but the messenger ought to be shame herself. But go ahead.
All right, I can't do it. So, Black women in the struggle for equality. Navigating in, well, for one, in our world, we have to be one. We have
it'll
to
never
be.
Happen. But go ahead.
In our world, we have to be one way in the workforce, and then we can let our hair down amongst friends and family. That's the difference between Black people and white people in the workforce. A Black woman has to get into the workforce or in the world, and she can only be comfortable around her people. So they've all, black women have always, we have always served on the front line in the fight for equality. That's one thing. And I want to say that because when there's always something going on, people always remember the men that stood out there to talk about it, because of course our men are our biggest advocates when we're talking about standing and fighting for us. We only got each other. So if it's either going to be the black woman and the black man when it comes to real fighting for justice. And that's how it has always been. You ain't seeing just the black woman do more. You ain't seeing the black man do more. We just believe in allowing the black man to be that focal point. That's that we always the in the house information givers. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of the things that black women have done have kind of been quiet, like except for the Rosa Parks and the Harriet Tubmans and the things like that, the people who white people want to remember. If we being honest. So let me jump into it anyway. We're going to talk about some of the black women who have took a chance to stand out in the workforce in the civil rights movements, in the rights for black rights, and even if it, when it came to the vote and stuff, it's a lot of things that I don't really care about when it comes to voting stuff. But I'm a 0.00000000003% of anybody who speak in this country. So my little minute voice absolutely means nothing. But if it's more of us that stand to want to fight and do a change, it can happen easier. What's going on? That's Siobhan. What's going on, Siobhan? And Badrika says black women has always been overlooked and overworked. Girl. No, we only, yeah. I like that comment, but yeah. I'm gonna come back to that a little later when we get into it.
She's 100% correct. We're gonna get back to that. She's
100%, 100% correct. But that's gonna go into the actual equality for economic resources for black women. So some of the people that have
never gonna happen. Crazy conversation to have, but go ahead.
Crazy conversation, huh? Well, the conversation is not the hope that we're trying to change and get the actual thing. We know. Most of us know, and the most of the people who have been in the civil rights movement know that black women will never, never get the same benefits and rights as the white woman in this world. We know that. It's not set to be that way. Hell, black men are struggling to even get half of the right of a white woman. So, you know what I'm saying?
The fact is, a conversation is the issue, but go ahead.
Shut up, Steve.
I'm just saying, really.
So tell me why the conversation is the issue.
I mean, if you go back in history, like, you have so many powerful black women and powerful black men that did their thing. Like, you have different people that wanted to shine light on different sexes, right? So, and in certain times, you wanted to have people to say, okay, so for this, we had powerful black women that did this, that were millionaires that did this, right? And then you had powerful African-American men that did this, but it had to suit a certain, it had to go with a certain
situation that was going on in the time and history and all of that.
Today, like right now, they have to be able to teach it in a way to where it still looks like you did it, but you really didn't.
Yep.
So that's why they hide it. And that's why, like, I really appreciate, you know, Joe for what he do, right? So you have all this information that you can actually put out, but you can't see because we didn't. It's just what it is. It's like you have all this stuff that, first of all, we started everything. Hands down. And because you brought the topic up about black women, and we just going through this whole thing with Roe versus Wade, right? That's the whole thing about now, like, and white men, and they're going through this whole thing, telling people what they can and can't do with their body. Like, they've been doing that shit for hundreds of years to black women. Like, it's ain't nothing new. Like,
it's nothing new to us.
And nothing. Nobody could do about it until they did the same thing they did last week, and now they mad about it. Mad about. They've been doing this to black women for hundreds of years. They've been like it's a whole situation, man. Like, and I feel personally the black woman is the most disrespected woman on the planet, hands down. Hands down, me out of conversation, it's just what it is. Like, from what she does, what they don't allow her to do, what she can't do in public, how she's looked upon, how she's frowned upon, like, all this shit is crazy. Like, and I've saw it as I've grown up. Like, and it just don't make sense. Like, and you see black excellence every day. Yeah. And they pull it down to make sure that it don't get to a point to where that's where everybody want to be. And you've seen it. It's been happening since they brought black people.
Can't hear you.
See, your voice went out. What'd you say?
No, I was saying.
Oh, there you go.
It's been going on since the dawn of time. And I'm gonna just keep it short now. But they want to make sure that they take everything and make sure we can't say or do what we had to do in anyway.
That's true. I mean,
yeah,
you can't really say anything against that. That's just what it is. And we're not, that's the conversation is not, one thing about the topics on this show is to be informative, to provide resources. A lot of people who don't know their history or even begin to delve deeply enough in their history to want to know it. So the conversations on here, we can't change the world. We're just trying to increase knowledge.
Shed light on it.
Yeah, shed light. Give you insight, allow you to know that you're what you're feeling and what you may be going through isn't new. It's been going on for hundreds of years. However, these are ways that people have migrated through these times. These are ways that people have been able to sustain themselves through these times because of the intellect, the survival skills, the struggles that made you want to know much more than what you already know, which led to you having to fight for your education, fight just to be able to walk certain streets or get on certain buses. It was so many things that we as a populace had to go through just to get to small ventures in our lives. So to hear your take on the and on what you just said, it made me think about the fact that black people have to just realize that our time in this portion of the century, our time in this portion of our, what is that, the centurium, because you know they say you're going from when you leave this time frame in this part of the world, you go into another part of the world, like, you know what I'm saying? Different.
Yeah.
I can't think of the word right now, but your soul, after it ejects or whatever. Whenever those things happen and you start to see different, like, we won't always be the people who have to go through these struggles. We won't always be the people who have to be stepped upon and things of that nature, because it didn't start off that way when in this world. It was a lot of things that happened to overtake that. And it's just about having the substance now just to get through it. And that's really what it is. You got to be smart enough to survive, and you got to be a survival of the fittest enough to just be smart enough to maintain yourself in this world. That's really all we got. So that's my opinion. Because I don't see laws changing. I don't care how many old white men die. that's making these laws. They are being replaced
by
their grandchildren, their sons, about other white men. It doesn't change. So everybody always saying that, like, oh my God, we're expecting new from Joe Biden. We're expecting new from this person. We're saying, shut up. Your expectations will defeat you.
They passed that law for Emmett Till when?
What law?
When he got hanged.
Are you talking about the law from when they murdered him?
Mm-hmm. They passed it when?
Hold on. Let me tell you the exact year.
Watch this though. They passed it when?
Hold on. March 29th. Oh, that just happened this year.
When did he die? When did he die?
It happened.
So no. I don't give a fuck.
I ain't talking about it happened. I'm reading.
I wanted you to tell. I wanted you to tell me when they passed the law about when they killed that little boy.
That's a long time. That's
and long they passed time. That shit March. In March, so you're talking about laws changing for what? It's not set up for the change. Like you got,
I know that.
It's not.
That's why I said, you can't worry about that. That's exactly why my statement stands. Those are not things that we can't. So all that whole we ain't talking about voting and all that today. We ain't talking about people who got wishful thinking about laws. Today,
black women been holding it down. Black women been holding it down for so long. And when you see like black women that's really tired for real, and they really tired for real, they really mean that. Like when you hold it down for so long, you tired. Like, and when you get it's no respect. It's nothing you can garner from that situation that people will sit back and say, okay, yeah, well, you can do whatever you want to do now. A black man can't even do that.
No. I said that a black man got 20% of the rights of a white woman. I didn't say of a white man. I said a white woman. So the spectrum is white man, white woman, black man. Black man, Mexican, Indian, Chinese, Asian, black women at the bottom.
I mean, you can put all the rest of the races above a black man.
Above too. Black man too. I did that one wrong. All the other races go above black man. All the rest of the races go between white woman and black man.
There you go. So
it's a lot. I mean, but in We know that black people as a whole are like serpents to this country. Like we mean absolutely nothing. We know that. But what we're trying the point of this conversation is not for the government and for white people to change how they feel about us. Correct. The point of this conversation is for black men and black women to change how they feel about us. That's the point of this conversation. So
let's come together.
Again, resources and information is key. When people are out here doing stupid ass shit by hating their own and doing things that against their own, that's a constant tool that the white people in the government continue to get to have over us as a culture. And we don't have any acceptance of love for one another. We just don't. So this country has made the hatred so strong.
How do you make somebody love your people when they grew up on
hating your people?
Everything that they made you hate, right? Like the country made you hate everything about yourself. So you can't just like you literally, if you don't research what you got going on, like,
or you're not raised with it. I mean, that's another thing. That's ignorance, though. A lot of that goes to ignorance. But I'll say this. 30 to 40% of that goes to ignorance. The rest of it is just people who are not in positions. And I ain't talking about because they don't have books. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about literally.
I don't care about positions. I'm talking about like that. Yeah,
I'm talking about literally. I'm talking about people who culture. Because I was just talking to somebody yesterday how they were saying like the culture of the Jamaican culture, when they talking to their kids, they loud, they rambunctious. When they talking to their children, it could be very disrespectful. It could be this, it could be that. And then they kids grow up doing the same thing. So those are generational things as well. So a lot of things are just going to be passed down because of just what you know. It's not that what you don't feel like what you know is bad. You feel like that's what you know. That's how you was told.
But it's not about physical attributes, it's about information. Like
you know, information. Like
the physical attributes of how you're raised or what you're doing is cool. I don't care how you grow up. The African-American experience, the African experience is just that, no matter how you're raised.
Mm-hmm.
The information is the problem, right? So I don't care how you raised, I don't care who raised you, I don't care how they raised you. The information is the issue. If you're raised up and it's smoking and drinking in your house and it's pimping in your house, there's all this shit in your house. So what? If the information is there, you know better.
Exactly.
That's the difference. So you can be raised in a Jamaican household and speak 100% Patois and know more about the USA than you know about Jamaica because the information.
But that's what I'm saying. There's lack of information. We're not.
Yes.
It's the lack of information because I'm not. I don't have a problem with who doing what and the yelling and because I yell, I cuss. But half of the time I'm doing more yelling and cussing, and I got resources in my yelling and cussing. Mm-hmm. I got information in my yelling and cussing. I'm barely even half of my children's life they've been talked to more than they've been. Put
your hands on them. Yep. A lot of kids in this generation has been taught to them. We was.
Yeah, that's why a lot of times the things that we know only come from what we sought. 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 What we sought. Because a lot of times our parents are only teaching us what they know. It was up to us. This is why I keep telling people, anytime I have these conversations with people my age, me and my age, I'm always saying it's up to our generation to have taught this generation better. We have failed them. We have let them down because what they need to know about their culture and what they need to know about being able to survive to the fullest, not just sit right here waiting on a fucking YouTube video to make you rich. Because, baby, you're going to starve. When it boils down to it, you're going to starve. They're not being taught that. It was our job to do that, and we have failed them. So think about who's gonna fail the next generation. They're gonna fail the next generation.
If you didn't get the information at all or got the information late, how do you relate that information? Because nobody sat back. The teaching of running your own situation happened when the Black Panthers died. After that, that's when the drugs came into the community. They didn't talk no more.
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing to talk about no more because it was displaced families. Yeah. Like the father had to get out. He couldn't be home no more because that's when all the welfare started. Like so,
the separation where the government said they the daddy.
So we have to talk about that too now, because now it's up to the individual to speak on the situation. Like it's up to the individual. Parents to say, I'm not going to allow this to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But how often does that happen if you do not know? Like you don't know. So
that's what I'm saying. And that's what a lot is going on, Steve. People just don't know. So let me read this comment. I don't think the youth is concerned about the history of the future, not only the Black woman, but our race as a whole. Most people nowadays, no, at all. No fucking way do they do. Most people nowadays only care about what's going on with them right at the end.
That comment is dead right.
No, it's, you ain't have to go back and change it to most of our youth. It's almost damn near 100%. You are you are so right, Shell. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Sometimes I used to get choked. Here go Willie with that bullshit.
I'm saying.
But we did.
You go to Ben, you get choked out, that's what it is.
Punched out.
I knew he was gonna come on with it.
Some people got raised like that. It's like, no, you're not gonna play like this. But
you're not gonna do it.
Like some people didn't play like that. Some people didn't play like that. But the majority, the vast majority of the minority that grew up, first of all, they grew up in the inner city. And they grew up a certain way, doing a certain thing. And when they did that, that has spilled over to what's going on now. And if you didn't get your own information or research, you passing what you learned on
what
your
you
own.
Learn on to your next generation. And then there we generation. Go. We got there you go, then, adding more fuel.
And now we, and now we got TikTok.
I hate your guts.
How you gonna compete with 75 billion things on the internet to say I'm gonna teach my son different and he already 18, 17, 16 years old.
You lost. You at 2% in the social media generation at 98. But that's the control that we've given over to America. We as the Black community, we failed the communities or we failed our youth, because regardless of it, Stig, we were supposed to be the people who made a difference. We said that we were the millennials. We said that we were bringing change to this country. We said this and we said that. But what it sounds to me is that we care more about the workforce and career moves than we cared about family. That's what it sounds like our generation did in this country.
That was a generation before us, but I feel what you're saying.
No, they didn't.
They did.
So you saying that the generation before us got way more into the work? Half of that generation don't even got college degrees.
That's why they had to work so much. Think about what you're saying.
So what I'm saying, what generation you talking about, the baby boomers?
Our parents not baby boomers.
Nah. So
My parents are baby boomers.
Yeah, she probably like the baby of the baby boomers, though, right?
She gotta be. Yeah. She gotta be. Because her parents can't be that old.
If she's 60, that's at like the baby of the baby boomers.
Okay. Yeah. So what I'm saying is they took everything out of the household. So you had to work so hard to do everything you had to do. So the generation for us had to do all the work and was not in the house.
You're right about that, because I remember. Because my grandma's generation, which was the baby boomers, my grandma worked her whole time, but my grandma didn't work until she got separated. My grandfather took care of the house like before, because that's the generation.
How old is your granddaddy? How old is your granddaddy?
My grandma is 85. My grandma 85. So that's why I said the generation before that. She started working when they got the generation after
that is what happened. It was our parents that did that.
No, I'm not saying. I'm talking about the generation that was doing the parents, the woman at home.
No.
And the woman at home and the man at work, that was my grandma and them generation.
Yes.
That's what I was saying.
So it progressively got worse. So it was the woman at home, your granddaddy going to work every day.
There we go. Baby boomers, 1946 to 1964. My mama just hit the baby boomer age.
My mama just did too. So
she was born in 64.
And I remember my mama staying home. My daddy went to work when I was growing up. And they actually got separated. They never got hold of the situation. But she wasn't working when he was going to work, right? So But that was when it depended on the government too, right?
But that's what I was gonna say too, though. Like the switch came between our grandparents and our parents. There was a drop in that switch then, because you got some people that was our grandparents that was still at home with the husbands at work. Uh-huh. Then you got some people that was our grandparents that was in, had to go to work, where the mothers had to start depending on the government for assistance and things like that. So it started between that age of our grandparents and our parents. So that's the age that parents, and what we're talking about is the age where the mother left the household, because, and that's what I meant, this is when things start getting a little bit lost. We're talking about how we started losing the youth and the generation and letting the generational curses and keep on passing through the 70s, from time to time to time.
Mid-70s to the 80s.
Yeah, so mid-70s to the 80s.
Mid-70s to the 80s.
It was the beginning of the 70s. That's when the change.
Like 73, 72?
I say round, and I can go, you can go back as far as about 69. Go about 69, 70, and go ahead on up.
It was at the top of the 70s.
That's when everybody started coming back home from the war, and it was really stuff was bad for people over here.
Siobhan, that's the perfect answer right there. Whenever welfare came out, that's when. And welfare was sent into the neighborhoods right after when the crack epidemic started. So that was around the 70s.
But they had a welfare plan before that
didn't grow dramatically until they started taking the fathers out of the home. Like, it ain't get...
That's why I said the 70s.
The heroin epidemic started way before the epidemic of welfare, right? They started because got to remember, the Black Panthers used to actually aid all of the moms and the families back then.
That's when WIC was created.
That's when the Black Panther Party created the WIC women.
I'm telling you, they shut them down first. So we didn't have to depend on the government. They shut them down first.
We was taking care of our community.
And it was all dope. So when the dope came and hit, everybody got separated.
Let me get some of these comments, y'all. We don't take pride in where we came from, mainly because we haven't been taught as a people. Very true.
1,000%.
Very true indeed. Oh, yeah. The economy changed in the 70s. Labor-intensive jobs were sent to foreign lands, and the Black man suffered most. Very much so. Very much so. And all this happened in the 70s. So the whole
when all the factories started shut down.
When our government took the welfare in the systems, and all of this created the issues for the Black woman now has to go to work. So now who the kids got at home to raise them and put and instill the values and instill the things that we were taught that we're supposed to take care of in our communities. Making sure your front porch swept out because your community matter. Making sure the neighbors got milk because your community matter. All that shit went out the window.
They weren't going to work, or that was the problem. So the thing was, they wouldn't allow them to go into work because they didn't have nothing to work for. They didn't have no skills. They had no skill set.
Well, we know that though. See, I ain't talking about that part. Go ahead though.
So that's why they couldn't go to work. So they had to stay home. So now, not only can you not work, now you got to stay home with your kids, and your husband and your baby daddy got to get out your house. Even though he's taking care of the crib, he can't be in there because of what they placed.
He still can't be there.
He gotta be gone.
He still could be there. The fathers no longer were fathers. Then that's when you made the Black man. Think about that. Now that's when the pride was sucked out of the Black man.
Correct.
When you told the Black man he couldn't take care of his home, he couldn't be in there with his wife and his children.
That's where the issue started.
They could get these assistance.
Come get this assistance.
And it was 100% on purpose.
But you tell him he need to go.
Because for one,
Larry can't be there. Larry can't be there.
The threat is that the black couple is a threat. A full Black family figure is a threat to this country. seeing too many families walking together hand to hand, black is a problem.
1,000%
So, I don't know. We don't got so far off topic. I like it though, because for one, I think that this was very, very needed.
We did know. The whole conversation geared around black women being disrespected, and that's what we talked about. This entire conversation comes
full circle.
We've done this all day.
We've had this conversation for hours, but yes, it comes into full circle. And the reason why this conversation is started off with just the black woman inequality is because we can't expect that the black woman will get any equal rights in this country at all if the black man don't even have them. Because let's be honest, we're not looked at as a unit in this country. So there's a separation. Mm-hmm. They don't look at the black woman and the black man as a unit.
Mm-hmm. Let me take a rant. Since they separated the man from the woman when they were slaves and they took the kids. Like, it's been like since then.
You have
put into people's minds like you're not supposed to be a unit. You're supposed to be separated.
If you haven't even been given the law hasn't even changed to say that we weren't even human beings yet.
Mm-hmm. You ain't human. They look at us as not human, and that's how they got everybody.
It ain't changed. They ain't changed nothing in the Bill of Rights or the Constitution to say that black men are. They just said that all men are to be created equal, but they had never changed nothing that said that we are looked upon as men.
Correct. They never changed anything for the Constitution. None of that stuff never changed.
No, so we can't expect any change in this society. We're not expecting that. If you are, then you kind of you're living wrong. What we can do is learn to navigate together. I'm gonna have to disagree with you totally on this one. Integration was both a blessing and a curse for the black community. I'm just gonna say it was a curse. I don't agree with it being a blessing at all, because
you gotta delve into it a bit more.
I know what he means.
I always said it should have never happened.
I know what he means about the
me too
about the blessing and the curse. I know exactly what he means by that. I like Amy coming right here. Amy, nothing in the Constitution says women is women, which is why they are openly attacking women. Women of color is a double whammy. But yeah, they definitely women haven't even been declared. We fall under men when they say these things. I'm asking a serious question right now. When they say all men are created equal, are they talking about us?
From
too?
What I was taught, that
no.
No. Exactly. From when it was written, it was all men.
Exactly. So,
they said that it was kind of biblical.
It had nothing to do with y'all back then.
Nothing.
That's
why Roe v. Wade was created.
Yeah, y'all were.
We had to have something that protect our body. We already was not human. They never acknowledged us as being human.
So you got to remember. Back then, no woman can vote, period. So that took it all the way out of the equation. So that's just what it was. Yep. That's just how it went down. Uh-huh. Y'all didn't vote at all. So when they said all men are created equal, they meant that. They meant that by the word. They meant that.
All white men are created equal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, of course they want to.
Well, that's who men are in this country. That's who men are labeled as. Men aren't labeled as black men.
That's a good thing, but that's a whole other conversation, man. We're talking about.
Well, don't try to say that now. We done got full. You talking about? We talking about? We done left that.
I'm saying we can't talk about. Yeah, you know, the black man that you're talking about, we can't dive into that, and we can't even get into the conversation of voting and women and the black woman. Like, it didn't happen. Like when they wrote that shit, it was for white men and white men only, and that's just what it was. That's just what it was. It had nothing to do with nobody else. It had nothing to do with white. It was all white men, 100%. That's it.
Yep.
Nothing to do with nobody else.
Yep. And then the sad part about that is that we still be talking about, well, this, the law say this, and law, where are you seeing that?
The law ain't even on for you.
It's never been written for you. So I be okay. But so as a whole today, I gotta at least say one of these particular women that I felt were was an empowering person. I gotta at least say what I thought.
Miss Olene.
This particular lady her name is Mrs. Reese Taylor. And it says, through their testimonies, black women like Ms. Taylor fought against sexualized violence and sparked larger campaigns for racial justice. She was one of the first black women to speak up about black women being raped and white men having babies from us and getting us pregnant on the plantations and back in the day when we was, you know, the slaves and all of that. That's what her fight was for. That type of person, to me, these people aren't the ones that I spoke about when you're talking about a lot of times for the justice and the fights and the walks and the all of the things that they did.
Correct.
Back then. So when we talk about the Roe v. Wade, if we really want to get down to it, Roe v. Wade was a law. The law in general, I don't have a problem with. I want the law to be in full effect, because I'm a woman, and I believe that I should be able to do whatever I want to with my body. But if we're being completely honest here, Roe v. Wade was completely for to protect the white woman when she wanted to start having abortions, and when she wanted to start doing the things that needed to happen that was happening against her body. Black women have always been raped. We've never had a voice to stand.
The problem was
and speak. And
the problem was they were raping and taking advantage of white women, right?
I know.
And they started coming to the forefront, to where people were starting to go to jail and people were starting to get called out about it. So now they had to have a situation where, like, nah, we can't do this to them, just them.
To them. But now, because the law of women has always been a question. White men don't respect white women either. White men don't respect no woman.
Nobody.
Absolutely not.
They if when it boils down to superiority, if it's gonna be them versus everybody else. But if it boils down to what they want and who they're gonna deal with in the end, it's going to be white men and white women versus everybody else. So the white man might stand up there and act like they don't want this to happen to their wife or to their child or to their daughter, or to their sister, or to their brother. They'll shoot somebody who try to make them stop having an abortion. They'll kill and get off. The reason why this fight matters to black women so much is because black women are raped, tortured, taken advantage of on a regular basis. We have to go through the mud. That's why this conversation was put into as a topic today, because in the middle of this whole Roe v. Wade thing, I don't care who testify to prove the point of this. If a black woman gets on the stand and says they don't give a damn. They don't give a damn. So if my plea is not to continue to think that the government has our best interests, my plea today is for us to realize that we have to have our own best interests. We have to start being more of our own equality-based force for ourselves. It needs to be, if it don't help all of us, it can't help none of us. If it ain't gonna suit all of us, it's not for any of us. And if we don't ever put that, and at this point, with things being so separated, where everybody is in it for themselves, there's a social injustice amongst blacks against blacks, there's a constant misconception of so many things that are going on in this country with us, and we still don't see that all these political forces and all these things are against us to continue to keep separating us. And we're not doing anything to change that, but falling into the traps until we see how much more important we are, until we take that mirror and realize that what you see is worth saving, mm-hmm. Nothing's going to change. So my plea is just that. To take look at these laws, look at this stuff that's going on, and see who it benefits. See who it matters to. Because once you realize that you're still a pawn, and I mean the smallest pawn on the chessboard, until you realize that you are the greatest pawn on the chessboard,
you'll know.
Things ain't gonna change. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate our open forum guest for always being here.
We outside, man. I told you, man. We out here, man.
And I appreciate you, Steve, because you gave good opinions today. You know, you rocked us out, but you're gonna definitely be here to speak. Y'all better believe it. He ain't here to just sit back there and not.
So I definitely know what's going on.
Like, no, we appreciate that though. That's he gonna be on here to talk for the men, and the men gonna jump in the comments and say what they need to say, because the men, y'all said some things today. I appreciate y'all, and yeah. Of course, always Queen. You got anything you want to say before we get up out of here today?
Yeah, y'all, you summed it up. Who can say something after you just said that? That was the end right there. That was the end. I just sat back and listened today. Appreciate you,
Stick.
Hey man, listen. You got to have an honest conversation. you gotta have an honest conversation, man. And it don't happen enough, you know. And that's the problem, you know. So
yeah,
air it out. That's it.
That's right.
Air it out.
That's right. Well, thank y'all for tuning in today. We had many different facets of the conversation today, so I really appreciate y'all tuning in, paying attention, giving us y'all feedback. And if you didn't do anything today, hopefully you got some information and something that you can walk away with to pass on to somebody else, because the whole point of this is to get those resources and that information out there so we can start having a better unit. So I appreciate y'all. Thank y'all for tuning in. We'll see y'all next Wednesday.